went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Christ there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the miraculous signs he did, they all paid close attention to what he said. With shrieks, evil spirits came out of many, and many paralytics and the cripples were healed. So there was great joy in that city. Now, for some time, a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great, and all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed, "This man has a divine power known as the Great Power." They followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his magic. But when they believed Philip as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed and was baptized, and he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. When they arrived, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them. They had simply been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money and said, "Give me also this ability, so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." Peter answered, "May your money perish with you, because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry, because your heart is not right before God. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord. Perhaps he will forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. For I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin." Then Simon answered, "Pray to the Lord for me, so that nothing you have said may happen to me." When they had testified and proclaimed the word of the Lord, Peter and John returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many Samaritan villages.
I want to ask two questions, if you'd permit me. Are you a Christian? I see quite a number of people nodding their heads. And if you are, why did you become a Christian? You know, usually we talk about the how, especially before baptism, somebody becomes a Christian. But why? Have you ever asked yourself that question? Why did I become a Christian? Please, let's share a word of prayer. Dear Father in heaven, we recognize the fact that it's a privilege to be seated here this morning to hear from you and you alone. Now, please, that you'd reach each and every one of us in all the four corners of this room. Give us a heart, Lord, to receive your word and to understand it, and to be able to live by it. In Jesus' name have we prayed with thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. So the early church, as we heard, was greatly persecuted. From Acts chapter 8, verses 1 through to 4, we learned that after Stephen had been stoned by the unbelievers, the believers or the church then scattered to a lot of places. And some of the places these people went were Judea and Samaria. And when they left, Saul is said to have pursued them in the verses 3, moving from door to door and then taking them to prison. If it was me, I would have just hidden in a quiet place and mind my own business. After all, I have been saved. And that would have been the state for most of us today in the church. Upon the little persecution, the little discomfort, the little unfortunate incident, we tend to turn our back on the gospel. We tend to turn our back on the church. We tend to turn our back on God. But today, if the song we sang earlier meant anything to you, beloved, we serve a good God. We serve a great God. We serve a God who is all-knowing and who is able to do far exceedingly, abundantly above all we can ask or think. And so if you find yourself as a believer in any circumstance whatsoever, please hold on to your faith. Hold on to the faith with which you have been called on to. And that is what these believers did. They did not shut up. They went to Samaria and they proclaimed the gospel. And so did Philip. This particular Philip we encountered here, I was actually a bit confused as to whether he was Philip the apostle. So I asked some people. And it is not clear from scriptures as to whether it was Philip the apostle, but I believe he was the one who was chosen with Stephen amongst the seven leaders to serve the poor Christian community in Jerusalem. So Philip was a man just like us. He didn't have any special powers. It was just by the grace of God. And I believe Philip went to Samaria in obedience to the command of Jesus Christ in Acts chapter 1 verses 8. That the Holy Spirit would come upon the believers and that they should go out first Jerusalem and to Judea and to Samaria and to all the ends of the earth. And so Philip went to Samaria to proclaim the gospel. And what happened when Philip went? The people heard him and they paid attention to him. Scripture says that they saw the miracles that he did. The lame walked, the paralytic, they got their healing. And so people saw all these things. You would say that, but I don't have these giftings to do miracles. But people are watching us in our going out and our coming in. I think anytime I have the opportunity to stand here, I'll say that our lives evangelize more to the people out there than even sharing the gospel. They saw, that's what scripture says. They saw what he was doing and so they paid attention to him. People are looking at us. The unbelievers in our communities, at our workplaces, outside these four walls, they look at us. And the question I would like, when they look at us, what do they see? Do they see God in us? Do they see Christ in us? Can they point at us and say, that's a Christian? And so they paid attention to him. When people look at you and then they can relate you with Christ, they will listen to you. They will listen to you because you carry that power. You carry that authority. You carry that image of Christ. And so it goes on to say, the city, the entire city, in the verses 80, it was filled with great joy. And that is what the gospel does when it comes into a believer's life. When the gospel comes into your life, it's like it gives you a level of excitement. You are happy. You are fulfilled. You are freed. You feel liberated. And I believe that is what this community feels. From the verses 9 going, it says that we come to meet Simon, the sorcerer. And it says, now for some time, a man named Simon had practiced sorcery. for some time. Scripture doesn't say exactly the length time, but this was what he was doing. And it was common among the Samaritans for somebody to be a sorcerer. But for this particular man to be listened to by highs and lows in the community meant that he did probably something different. He was well grounded in sorcery. And sorcery is what? It is witchcraft, it's idolatry, it is magic. That's what it is. And it says that he amazed all the people in Samaria. All the people. When I read scriptures, I just want to take it all. It didn't say some of the people. All the people, some way, somehow, felt amazed, admired, in a way, what Simon was doing. But he wasn't a believer. They just looked at him and then they were amazed. And so, again, it says that they gave him their attention. Remember, they gave Philip their attention because of the wonders, the miracles that he was performing and the good news that he shared with the people. And they did the same for this Simon. And it says that Simon was boastful. Immediately I saw this, that he boasted that he was someone great. This should tell you this is not of God. This is not of God. Scripture says in Proverbs verses 16, there's one going, says there's seven things God hates and he wouldn't tolerate. A proud look. If you want to see whether the leader you are following, I mean in Christianity, the prophet or the pastor, or it is not of God, check out for somebody who boasts. Somebody who boasts. And it goes on to in Jeremiah, it says that let not the wise, Jeremiah 9 verses 23 to 24, let not the wise boast in his wisdom. Let not the strong boast in his strength. Let not the rich boast in their riches. But it says that let him who boasts, boast that he understands and knows the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So the only time you are permitted to boast is that you fully understand who God is. And not only do you understand it, you know him. You know him, meaning that you have a relationship with him. You don't know of him. That's like a close but far relationship. But you know him.
Amen.
That we may know him. That was Paul's prayer for the church. And it says that they followed him because he amazed them for a long time with the magic. But, that's what the verses 12 tells us. There is a but. But when they heard Philip, when they heard the good news, so I'm assuming that at this particular point in time, these people had not come to hear the good news. But when they heard the good news, it says that they believed Philip as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God, and in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. When Philip gave the gospel to them, when they came to an encounter with the gospel, they believed. But these same people were the followers of Simon the sorcerer. You see, sometimes we categorize some people as, no, these ones will never accept the gospel. No, I can't share it with this one. This particular person is like this. Or that particular. These were people who have been amazed by what the sorcerer, the magician did. But when they heard the gospel, so I plead with you today. Maybe the person that you are sharing, with whom you are sharing the gospel with today, may not respond immediately. Sow the seed. Somebody from nowhere will go and water that seed. And as scripture says again, somebody might harvest it. Some of the harvests we have here today were not seeds that we sowed.
people might have shared the gospel with them, maybe in their childhood or at some point in time. And then at the point we went in to share the gospel with these people, they said, oh, I heard this before, but I didn't really think it was that. Okay, now I will believe. And so they take steps of faith. Please don't limit God when it comes to his work. And especially when it comes to sharing the gospel. Whatever it takes, whoever they are, even if in our eyes they are the worst kind of people. Remember Jesus and the Samaritan woman at the well? Yeah. I don't think that the apostles, in fact, when they came to meet Jesus having a conversation with her, they were surprised. Because what would first and foremost a Jew have in common with a Samaritan, let alone a Samaritan woman? Not just a Samaritan woman who had been divorced and married about 5 times. But God had a purpose for her. So please, let us, just take that command word for word, just as it is. And go out there and share whomever we come across with, whatever, just make it your responsibility. It's a charge for us to keep, to share God's word with people. And it says that Simon himself, some of the translation says, even Simon believed.
Hallelujah.
I believe at that time it was a wow factor for them that even Simon, the magician, everybody knew him. He was quite a popular, maybe he would be more or less like Trump in our day. Owning up and saying that, I have believed.
Amen.
I have believed. I want to give Simon the magician a little pat at the back and say, well done, my brother. Yeah. Because not only did he believe, he also followed Philip. That's what the scripture says. It says in the verses 13, Simon himself believed and was baptized. You see, he didn't just believe and went back to his source. He believed, he came in to be baptized, and then he followed Philip everywhere. Everywhere. I want to believe that when such news hit Jerusalem to the other apostles who were there, they would be overjoyed that the magician, the sorcerer guru has been captured by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And not only has he believed, he's come to be baptized, and then he's following me everywhere. But later we come to see that he was just a spectator of the great signs and wonders that was going on in the church or amongst the believers. Because it says that he was astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. He was always, his eyes open wide. He was just enjoying the scene. For him, I think that's probably he thought that, no, what kind of power is that? He knew the kind of power that he was operating in as a sorcerer. And he knew that, no, that power is greater than what I have. And so he was following in every step of the way to find out what the people have got that he's not got. Probably why are they able to do all these miracles and all he can do is magic. And we know magic, it's just tricks. And so Simon follows Peter and Philip in every step of the way, recognizing the power of God, recognizing that his power was limited. And it continues in the verse 14, says that when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to help them. They sent Peter and John to help them. And it goes on to say that, so they did the laying of hands for the believers there because they had not received the Holy Spirit. I want to believe that the church was in a transition then, where probably they had to pray for them, lay hands on them before they received the giftings. Or the other side I look at this is that maybe that was not the infilling of the Holy Spirit. It was the giftings of the Holy Spirit. But I'll leave that for Derek and our Pastor Mark to interpret. So please see them after church if you have any questions about that. But that's what I want to believe. That the church was just in a transition then. The Holy Spirit had come upon the church and was at work. Today, in our day, at this present moment, once you confess your sins and accept Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to live in you and presents you righteous before God. He directs you, He guides you, He orders your step to live a life pleasing to the Lord. So the apostles came. And then when Simon saw what was happening, that they could just lay hands on the people and then the people would be empowered to also do miracles and to lead that fulfilled Christian life, he wanted it. Now he found a solution to why he was following Philip. Because he wanted that power. That power that was greater than his. That power that could do exceedingly, abundantly beyond what he could think or imagine. He wanted it. And to him, I think that he thought he couldn't get it for free. Because this is too much, you know, I think he was overwhelmed, astonished, as the scripture says, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so he offered money. And Sharon has illustrated what can money buy. And for me, I think Peter rebuked him. Because look at someone like Peter and his background. He was a fisherman. How could Peter have afforded the giftings to pay for the giftings of the Holy Spirit if it was supposed to be paid for? How could I, as I stand here, short, black, African woman, have paid for these giftings? How could we all? How? And so Peter rebuked him at what he did, knowing that his heart was not right with God. And that's a gift of the Holy Spirit, that you are able to discern the hearts of people. You meet people and you know, this is not right. Please be attentive to the Holy Spirit in you. Sometimes we get into trouble for troubles which we shouldn't have because we do not listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in you. It is at work in all of us if we have come to faith in Christ Jesus. And we just have to yield to it. If you are not hearing anything from anywhere, then probably you are not exercising the giftings of the Holy Spirit if you have come to faith. And I stress on the fact that if you have truly come to faith in Christ Jesus. And so Peter gave it to him, well, and said that, may you perish with your money. And asked him to pray for repentance. But again, we see that Simon, from the answer he gives, hasn't really repented. He was scared that he was going to perish with his money. So he said, pray that what you have said doesn't come upon me. Unlike an example I can think of is David in the Psalms. When the prophet went to him and said, that seeth the Lord, this is what you have done. David went in and said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, O Savior, and know my thoughts. And if there be any wicked way in me, cleanse me. He repented of what he had done. Simon is only concerned about what will come unto him. before I forget, you know how many of us have heard the term simony, or I don't know if I'm pronouncing it, is it simony or simony? It means that buying a church office with money, a position in the church with money. Thankfully, you can't do that in a Baptist church. Because if not, you have to pay everybody, because we have to vote people into leadership. You know?
Amen.
So, it says, may your money perish with you. I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin. Beloved in Christ, the gift of the Holy Spirit is free. It is free. It is free. Freely, Scripture says, have we received, freely we should give. If we are not given, it means we are hoarding it. And it is not of God. We are called today to go out there and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it started in Jerusalem. And this is our Jerusalem, Mansfield community, or wherever you find yourself. That is your Jerusalem. To spread the gospel. To spread. I know in this country it is a bit difficult because of, I guess, people's rights and stuff. You can't just be knocking on people's door. Just, I'm here to. I think I challenged Sue during one of the discipleship classes that the day she knocks on her neighbor's door, she should tell me, I also go and knock on my neighbor's door, because she is a missionary. And then she, you know, it's not easy. But that doesn't mean that we have to keep quiet. But if you've not even gathered the courage, just live the life. Live that fullness of life in Christ Jesus. Live that humbled, glorious life. The life is not, I don't know how to put it. You don't have to do anything extraordinary to be identified. The apostles had nothing. If you are talking about riches, they had no money. If you are talking about good looks, I'm not really sure about that though. I understand John was a fine looking man. But they went all out for the gospel.
Hallelujah.
We have to preach it without fear or favor. Let's all, everybody, come to know our family members, our friends. We can sit and chit-chat about everything, but not the gospel. But not the gospel. So I asked the question I asked again before I began. Are you a Christian? Now, I only see a few people nodding their heads. And if you are, why did you come to Christ? Was it because of fame? Was it because of favor? Was it because of what you get? Is it because of socialization? Is it because you had nowhere to go on a Sunday morning and so this would be a nice place to come for tea and coffee? Or to come and sing? Why have you come to faith in Christ Jesus? And if you have, the next question I'll add now is that, is your heart right with God? When he searches us this moment, here and now, what will he find? Or when he calls us home, here and now, will he stretch forth his hand and say, welcome home, thou good and faithful servant? Or will he look at you and say, who are you? I do not know you. Let's ponder on these questions and know that the fact that somebody proclaims that I know Christ, like Simon, as we see here, may not necessarily be. The fact that they even go to the extent of coming to the baptistry to be baptized may still not be. But dearly one, in Christ Jesus, God is not mocked. I certainly can be fooled. Our pastor can be fooled. The church leaders can be fooled. But we cannot fool God. He sees. He knows. It is all laid bare, like the Bible is lying right in front of me. Our lives, our hearts, our minds are laid bare before Him. What does He find?